Hi, I'm Susan Lewis. I talked with conductor Vladimir Yurovsky when he was conducting the Philadelphia Orchestra in a program featuring Strauss's Also Sprach Zarathustra. We started out talking about the many levels of meaning in the symphonic poem, which was inspired by Nietzsche's work of the same name.
There's the reference and the tribute to Nietzsche. There's Strauss's own take on these subjects. Then there's this musical interplay, this relationship between the key of C representing nature and the key of B representing man. So depending on how much background you have on Nietzsche and Strauss, you can appreciate it on various levels. How do you approach it?
Well, it's an interesting question because my approach has been evolving over the many years that I've known this piece, and then when I started conducting it, I was trying to approach it from a purely musical point of view, because I always thought that Strauss would put on this program music cloak or program music hat, but in fact he was really a 100% musician in everything, and I'm still convinced he was. But now, after several years of performing this piece, I've started looking for new inspiration as to a better understanding of the of what's inside. And after having conducted last year the opera by Strauss, Frau Neuschatten at the Met, which is based upon a fairy tale by Hofmannsthal, but which is strongly influenced by the philosophy of Nietzsche, mainly about the idea of the eternal recurrence, and also the idea that the human being has to overcome itself in order to become superhuman, to be equal with gods. And that brought me back to the Nietzsche's book, which I read when I was a student. And at the moment, I'm reading it both in the original German, which is for me like my second language after Russian, and I'm reading it in parallel in the modern English translation.
Do you think that Strauss was interpreting Nietzsche's book, or was he taking Nietzsche as a starting point so that he could express his own thoughts about these universal subjects?
I don't think, honestly, Strauss had any thoughts of his own on any universal subjects. I remain with my previous opinion that he was predominantly a musician. I think he felt simply inspired by the thoughts of this other great man, and with his infallible sense of theater. Strauss was a genius dramaturg, and he was often better at it than his librettists, particularly Hofmannsthal, who would deliver wonderful words. But Strauss was always extremely specific at how he wanted them reworded and rearranged for it to make theatrical sense. And I think here he rearranges the book completely, because the chapters appear in wrong order and seemingly in a random order. But what he makes out of it, he makes a perfect drama of a spectacle of the development of the human race from its lowest regions to the highest. But then you do understand through reading the text, and then through relating this music to the music you know from other operatic Strauss, that in some places where he sounds ironic, he might in fact be absolutely sincere. So it is a very, very strange dichotomy between irony and sincerity of emotion. I think you should still avoid taking everything for the face value in this music, because a lot of it is meant ironically.
If you don't have that background in the ideas, and you're listening to it, and you see headings like of joys and passion and grave song and of science, and the science section is a fugue with various rhythms and keys. How do you interpret that?
Well, I think it's not a fugue. It's a parody on a fugue.
Okay.
It's a fugue which leads in no way. It has got absolutely no development. It starts as a fugue, but then after a while it gets lost, and then he also gets bored with it. It's basically saying, like what Nietzsche is saying, that all the science of the world is not giving you any right answers to all the questions you have. So it's only one step. It's maybe the next best step of humanity after developing of the religion. The next thing they develop is science. But what Nietzsche is trying to say, and what Strauss is certainly putting into notes, is that neither religion, no science, not even human compassion can give you the answer to all those burning questions of humanity. And the eventual answer and the eventual positive outcome is in the dancing song, which I used to misinterpret as something frivolous.
This is where the violin solo?
Yeah. But I think it's the frivolous it is only because of Strauss's Bavarian nature. He just can't help not bringing in another Ländler. But what he means by it, if you compare this music to the other Ländlers which appear in all of his later works, it's a yes to life. So there is a moment of sincerity in it. There is vitality and loveliness about this music, as well as slight distance and irony. But I think one shouldn't be too cynical about it either. So you need to find a healthy measure between naivety and maturity.
So how do you know whether the music is sincere or not? Is it because he's taking certain conventions and then leading them places they don't ordinarily go?
For instance, he would take a lyrical melody and then just pull a comedian gesture in the next page, and then you just left wondering whether which one was meant seriously.
When you say comedian gesture.
Well, I mean, there's like this moment in the horns, which could be, you know, coming from Thiel Eulenspiegel. It's a typical jester's music, but it comes completely out of the blue after all this lyrical expansion. The thing about this music, it's got multiple meanings. It can be seen this way, but it can also be seen under a slightly different angle. It's like the opera Rosenkavalier. It's got both humor and irony and the lyricism and sincerity. And it's this in-between, this very, very strange fine line between the two, which makes the unique voice of Strauss. Strauss, by using this book, made it a double trouble. So people who already had difficulty understanding Nietzsche, now listening to Strauss, they're not going to understand it any better. So I think you have to kind of make up your own story when listening to it.
Did he write about this?
Well, he wrote about his general idea of it being a dedication to Nietzsche and it being a freely fantasized summary of the book. This is what he has taken from the book. But certainly, given that the book starts with Zarathustra addressing the sun, there is an obvious element of nature in it. Yeah. And I think if you look at it from the musical point of view, it's the world being created. It's the Big Bang which creates the world from the single atom. It's an ingenious start. It's probably one of the best starts of any pieces ever written. And it's so simple, it's nearly primitive, but it works.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.